maggiara ti miranda sia gyananda nasarakaya dakshurun gyananda nasmai sri guru vena gyananda miranda
Vaishnava Bhavya Jari Madhava and Bhakuris here is today and Prabhupada would begin, my part is going to explain it. Prabhupada would begin Bhagavad Gita, Krishna conscious teaching, from the fourth chapter, chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Evam parampara prapra mimang rajyasya vidu. Tadina mahata yoganashkara. Our parampara, this movement, this Hare Krishna movement, is not some thoughts by great thinkers and say, let's run with it. Some speculative things say, this is interesting thoughts. These are something speculative creations, concoctions. It comes down from Krishna to Brahma, to Narada, to Vyasa. Then there's this big gap. Vyasa to Madhva. 5,000 years. We have Srimad Bhagavatam spoken by Sukdeva Goswami, Sutta Goswami. How come why are we called Madhva Sampradaya? Why not Sutta Sukdeva Goswami Sampradaya? And this big long gap. Big reason. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very fond, you know, of listening to the Dasavatar Stotra by Jayadeva. Damodar Swarup, his secretary, close confidential, represents Lalita Sakya Vishaka, would read different, people would submit different writings for Mahaprabhu to read, and he would go over them, just mundane love poetry or genuine Siddhanta Prema Bhakti. And Mahaprabhu would love to hear and sing Jayadev's Jaya Jagadisha Hari, all the 10 avatars. Keshava Drita, Narahari Rupa, Keshava Drita, Avatara Rupa, Keshava. If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to relish the mood and the color of Radharani, why is he reading about Varaha? Why does he love to hear about Nishinga? Why does he? Her pundit would also interpret. One time Krishna was making a big mess eating, and Mother Yasoda said, I think you were a pig in your last life. How did she know I was Varaha? Go. It's not that funny. You missed a great joke. Why does Lord Chaitanya also relish listening to the 10 avatars if he's come to relish Radharani's mood? Because one time Krishna was making a mess eating, and Mother Yasoda says, I think you were a pig in your last life. She says, how did she know I was Varaha? No. No, they were just uncovering. They were just laughing when you walked in. No. Come on. You didn't laugh when I walked. Bosama. Gopis say, we don't believe you. You cheated Bali Maharaj. You said you want 3 steps. You took the whole universe. You're a cheater. Okay. So how do we have Krishna Bhakti Buddhas? How do you get Buddha in Krishna Bhakti? Ooh, he's atheist. Nothing. Sunyavadi. Because after Krishna, there's nothing. And there had to be nothing. After Krishna, they were still at the reading of Bhagavatam. The sages gathered together to do a fire sacrifice. The fire smoke was getting in their eyes. It wasn't working. Yet fire sacrifices went on and on. Why sacrifice? Krishna says, when you come here and you're enjoying the sun and the moon and the rain and the food that it makes, you owe. By having a credit card, you're taking these things, you're buying these things, you get a bill with interest. you have to pay. If you don't, you are bound by karma to do sacrifice, to do yajna. Bound. If you don't pay your credit card, you go to jail. You're bound in jail. So these sacrifices are going on. And I definitely just consider, we have the Bible story, Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel did a sacrifice, made altars and made it. Where'd they get that idea? I definitely think Vedic culture was all over the world. Why would they think, too, let's make a fire sacrifice of our vegetables, and they had animals sacrificed to. By the time Moses brings the Aaronic, not ironic, Aaron, his brother Aaron, the sacrifice in described in Leviticus is big, elaborate sacrificial, as is in Vedic culture. Big, elaborate thing, which was the bread and butter of the Brahmin community, that they will do the sacrifice, and they made it their living. Weddings and bar mitzvahs, you know, they would have to Brahmin thread initiation, weddings, death ceremony, and then sacrifices to forefathers. That was their business, for getting cows, getting gold, getting land. And that was their profession. Became out of hand. The sins were more than the sacrifice. So what? More goats, more horses, the Temple of Solomon was the permanent construction of the moving tabernacle. Imagine a huge building, and from the altar down to the outermost steps, blood. Soaked in blood. You go, ooh. Kali Temple, 1968. I walked there with the wooden clogs with some brahmacharis, and our feet were sticking in the mud. Blood. Hundreds of goats, that you need more goats, more and more sacrifice, more and more sin. Buddha comes and says, this is not the way. Jesus came and said, this is not the way. I'll be the last sacrifice. I'll be the sacrificial lamb. My blood pays for your sin. Finished. Buddha comes and not only I'm not going to sacrifice my body, but I'm going to reject the whole Vedic system. See how time is going from Krishna's appearance now 5,000 years ago, now coming down to Buddha, finally the whole cycle. This is why Madhva hasn't come. Then Buddha comes, no sacrifice. Uh-oh, we're going to lose the Vedic culture. Who comes to revive Vedic culture? Shankaracharya says the same impersonal Buddhism, only quoting the Vedas. Oops. Now we get confusion. We got some lot of confusions now. But the Vedas are revived. Where am I? So Madhva comes from Vedavyasa. Then Vedavyasa gives Madhvacharya the dream. Bring back a personal Krishna bhakti, Krishna worship at least. And so not that there's just one, there's two. Madhvacharya is all two. Let me see, I always forget one, but I wrote it down today. There is a two relationship between... between Krishna and Jiva. So, between Krishna and matter. Two. Between Jiva and matter. Between where did I put my things here? Between Jiva and Jiva. Jiva and Jara. Jiva Maya. Krishna Maya. Krishna Jiva. And Jara Jara. Prabhupada once said, he held up his glasses. These are my glasses. If you say it's a pen, I'll give you a slap. This is this. This is not the microphone. This is separate. Even things are different. Mayavadi and Buddhists will say, oh, everything is one. Everything is one. No, it's not one. It's not. Or I'll give you a slap. And, oh, the slap? My face is Maya. The hand was Maya. There's no... Okay. Get my point? They're slapping me, but compared karma to the football. You get, oh, I'm flying high, and then you come down and get kicked. And, oh, I'm flying high. In between, you have some pleasure, and then death, and then rebirth, and then bing, go up again. High, pleasure, and then get kicked again. So Madhvacharya, everything is too. But we have big differences with them because the only accepted born Brahmas is this because he's still a lot of our principles or customs, not principles or not siddhantas, but customs are to be politically correct. So Madhvacharya did not associate or have any of his disciples or associate with Shudra or Kshatriya, but only Brahmins were initiated. Madhvacharya established 8 temples in the seaside, Udipi, and one more, I'm going to mess, more inland, called Uttaradi Mutt. And they really fell into a very insular caste Brahmin mentality. They say the only people that can be initiated to become Vaishnavas are those born in our Vaishnava families in our provinces. And it gets worse. They say there are two kinds, again, that Madhva has to have two. There are two kinds of jivas. Those born in our Vaishnava families and Rakshasas. They're ongoing committing Vaishnava apparat. Buddha nothing. So come straight to New Mahaprabhu because Shankara is Mahashankarshan. Sadashiva is Advaita. Lord Chaitanya comes for to fulfill three purposes, to answer the prayers of Advaita Charya. All the other avatars, Buddha, Jesus, the avatars come from through Kirodakshaya Vishnu just above our Swarga. But it's a Vaikuntha planet. When this whole universe is dissolved, that remains in the spiritual sky as a Vaikuntha planet. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not avatar, he's avatari, he's Krishna. So he comes from who is between matter and spirit is Shiva Sadashiva, and that is Advaita Charya. Advaita Charya was praying for. Now, when we read descriptions of Navadvipa 500 years ago, it sounds like Satya Yuga. What was so bad? It was not everything. The Vedas would be lost because they were quibbling and arguing and becoming popular as poets. The Vedas were, a pundit would be more or less a walking thesaurus. And they would argue from Shankaracharya. You also got this idea called Yadva. Yadva, Yadva, Yadva. Yadva means this or this. So it's like arguing with a thesaurus. Dharma prochita kaitavatra. Okay, Dharma, what does Dharma mean? Dharma. And then they go, that has 4 meanings, and this has 3 meanings, that has 6 meanings. And we'll put that meaning, fourth meaning here, back into the verse. Now we'll go to Prajita. That has 6 meanings. We'll put that fourth meaning back here in front of the 6th meaning of the first Dharma, and put that in here, and you get a complete meaning. Vedanta means Veda-anta, the end of knowledge, the ultimate knowledge. Ve means without. Danta means teeth. So I am Vedanta. Like you laughing, so they were pundits that would go through the Upanishads and the Gita and Bhagavatam and get laughs. And get laughs. And the people going to hell. Just outrageous. So they, and then there was confusion. Meanwhile, you got Shankaracharya's Mayavad going in there. So the danger of Mayavad is that there is no morality. It doesn't matter. It's all one. We're all going to poof into zero. It is spiritual suicide. What does the ad say in the depression medication? If thoughts of suicide occur, discontinue. Mayavada and Buddhist liberation is through despair. Suicide. Someone's suffering so much in the prison, we're in a prison. Sometimes they escape or get released or commit suicide. Madhvacharya. So, why does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu take his sannyas from the Madhvacharya instead of the Ramanuja or the other Vaishnava sampradayas? Because Madhva came from Vyasa. And Ishwarapuri was Advaitacharya's godbrother, disciple of Madhavendra. Now we come to Madhavendra. So, who's going to read this part? Any questions on this part? Any questions on this much?
What is the reason that you said why did the Vedic?
Because all of that had to come. After Krishna left, then Vedic sacrifice went on and became more and more until there were, even in Calcutta, the rich Shakta businessmen would bring hundreds of goats for it. And it was like to purchase, this is your coin of the realm is blood. So it became outrageous. So then Buddha had to come to stop them. Then Shankaracharya had to come to revive the Vedas. Then Madhva comes. And so there has to be, there's that gap. There we are, yeah. That's in the other, that was not Vedic culture, that's out in the desert in far away. But it was, my point in making that is that the Vedic culture in some way was all over the world. Must have been in different places more and more and more forgotten, but maintained and preserved in India by these acharyas. So, that was the end of the Hebrew Aaronic priesthood sacrificial way. So there were no more sacrifices done. And really 5 years after Jesus, that temple was destroyed by Rome. There were no more. And then when the Jews were taken to Babylon, they said, we can only do sacrifice in Jerusalem, so we're out of Jerusalem, no more sacrifice. Sacrifice still go on, though, but the Nam Yajna, Hari Nam Yajna is the sacrifice for Kali Yuga. Huh? Okay. Sadashiva, yeah. No, he's Mahavishnu and included is there. Nityananda is also called Ananta Shesh. Nityananda is also, that comes up because of Parampara. Nityananda is our Guru Tattva because he is Ananta Shesh, Mahavishnu. What is Ananta means unlimited, and Shesh means what's left. So after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Guru, and after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what's left? The cyclic succession from Rupa Goswami to us, to Prabhupada. What's coming down? So yeah, that kind of nicely wraps up the parampara. I started with Evam Parampara, and we finish with your question. What else?
So. So again, Madhavendra Puri was his great sannyasi.
Krishna was Abhijananti Mang Mudha Manashimano Tanumasritam Parampava Majananta Mama Bhutta Maheshwaram. Krishna came as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but fools and rascals looked upon him as an ordinary man. He was seen here 5,000 years ago by everybody. Only those who saw him with devotional eyes, Premanjana Juditavaki Vilochane, who see with devotional and knew that he was Krishna, he was living there, and his great-grandson, or grandson, his Vajranabha, had five or more deities made of Krishna to be installed in various places. The deity that Madhavendra discovers was hidden. Maybe when they thought the Muslim invasion come, many of the deities were hidden, and the deities of the Goswamis were kept by the Maharaj of Jaipur, except for Radha Ramana, which is a small deity that could be hidden, could be saved and protected, but that's the only deity. When you go to Vrindavan, those are not the original deities of the Goswamis. You go to Jaipur and see the to Gopinath and Govinda and Damodar are there. So this deity of Giri Govardhan that Madhavendra Puri discovered was buried. And then after maybe some generation, they forgot where it was. So.
One night while in Govardhan, this is a subsequent last time, Madhavendra Puri dreamed that the Gopal deity was within the forest. The next morning he invited his neighborhood friends to accompany him to excavate the deity from the jungle. He then established the deity of Sri Gopalji on top of Govardhan Hill with great pomp. Gopal was worshipped, and the Anakut festival was observed. This festival was known everywhere, and many people came from the neighboring villages to join. One night, the Gopal deity again appeared to Madhavendra Puri in a dream and asked him to go to Jagannath Puri to collect some sandalwood pulp and smear it on the body of the deity. Having received this order, Madhavendra Puri immediately started for Orissa. Traveling through Bengal, he reached Ramuna village and there received a pot of condensed milk offered to the deity of Gopinath Ji. Would you like to tell that story? Or?
I want to hear it.
Okay. So again, this was the Gopal deity was hidden on Govardhan Hill, revealed himself in a dream to Madhavendra Puri, and then he excavated and uncovered the deity and established the worship there. So then the deity again came and said, go to Jagannath Puri, which is about, I don't know, 1,000 miles or hundreds of miles away, and bring some sandalwood. So immediately Madhavendra Puri went to do that. On the way, he stopped in Ramuna and at this temple, and he saw that the pujaris were offering this wonderful sweet rice called Amrita Kali to the deity. So he thought, this would be so nice to offer to Gopal. And then he said, I'm an offender. There they are offering this bhoga and I'm wanting to enjoy it. I'm just an offender. And so he sat down and he went into the village and fasted for the night. Meanwhile, the pujari had a dream. He said, there is a mendicant here named Madhavendra Puri and I want you to take a pot of my sweet rice to him. And you will find the sweet rice on the altar behind me. So the pujari was astonished. He woke up. He went in the temple, in the deity room, and there behind the deity was this pot of sweet rice. So the deity had actually stolen the sweet rice and placed it there. So the pujari took the pot of sweet rice, ran into the village and said, who is Madhavendra Puri? Who is Madhavendra Puri? You are the most fortunate person. And so Madhavendra Puri got up from where he was resting and he received this pot of sweet rice. So he ate the sweet rice and then he kept the pot with him and he would eat a little piece of the pot every day also. So then he went on to a little further on to Jagannath Puri and got the sweet rice, which was something like 80 pounds of sandalwood. He got the sandalwood. It was 80 pounds of a very heavy burden. And as he was returning, he again came through this temple and Gopinath came to him in a dream and said, you can just take this sandalwood and smear it on me because there's no difference between me and Gopal. So that way he didn't have to lug all this heavy sandalwood all the way back to Govardhan. Is that all right? Madhavendra Puri started for Orissa. Traveling through Bengal, he reached Ramuna village. Since then, the Gopinath deity has been known as Chira Chora Gopinath, the deity who stole the pot of condensed milk. After reaching Jagannath Puri, Madhavendra Puri received permission from the king to take one mana of sandalwood and 8 ounces of camphor. Aided by 2 men, he brought these things to Ramuna. Again, he saw in a dream that Gopal at Govardhan Hill desired that very sandalwood to be turned into a pulp mixed with the camphor and smeared on the body of Gopinath Ji. Understanding that this would satisfy the Gopal deity of Govardhan, Madhavendra Puri executed the order and returned to Jagannath Puri. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself told this story. He narrated this story for Lord Nityananda Prabhu and other devotees and praised the pure devotional service of Madhavendra Puri. When he recited some verses composed by Madhavendra Puri, he went into an ecstatic mood. But when he saw that many people were assembled, he checked himself and ate some sweet rice. Thus he passed the night And the next morning, he again started for Jagannath Puri. So as they were traveling and came to this temple in Remuna, this is when he narrated these pastimes. Any questions? In Jagannath Puri. Yeah.
Here's your question.
Is this great that the mother of Puri actually left the world there
in Remuna? I don't know. Do you have any information? It seems this chandas were too heavy, so therefore he was too weak to carry all the way back to Vrindavan. So Kshetra Gopinathji sort of, or Gopalaji, either way, made arrangement, and then so that he didn't need to come back all the way to Vrindavan, because Remuna is much closer to, it's just outside Jagannath Puri, right?
Yes, I don't know about his departure, do you?
No.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Nomadar? So there's another interesting story about Madhavendra Puri. Shall I continue? This is a verse that he composed. Madhavendra Puri was ill, and you can sit there if you want. He was ill and dying, and in his infirmity, he was reciting this verse again and again. Ayi dina dayadra nata he, matura nata kadava lokshya se, ridayam twada loka kataram, dayita brahmyati kim karom yaham. O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now? Srila Prabhupada writes, the uncontaminated devotees who strictly depend on the Vedanta philosophy are divided into four sampradayas, or transcendental parties. Out of the four sampradayas, the Sri Madhva sampradaya was accepted by Madhavendra Puri. Thus he took sannyas according to parampara, the disciplic succession. Beginning from Madhvacharya down to the spiritual master of Madhavendra Puri, the acharya named Lakshmipati, there was no realization of devotional service in conjugal love. Sri Madhavendra Puri introduced the conception of conjugal love for the first time in the Madhvacharya Sampradaya. And this conclusion of the Madhvacharya Sampradaya was revealed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he toured southern India and met the Tattvavadis, who supposedly belonged to the Madhvacharya Sampradaya.
Travels in the south, and I felt I visited the mother Udipi Matsu. You really get a feeling that they only bhajan, their only rasa is the flawless execution of rules and regulations. That's all. There's no joy. I really got the feeling, the same feeling of being with Orthodox Jews, that just. Practice just the rules and whoops, I forgot. And every month or so, there has to be this done and that done. They were going to receive Prabhupada on a palanquin as a successor to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the line of Madhvacharya. And when Lord Chaitanya visited from the South Indian tour, he said, all you have is, the only thing you have is that you worship the deity of Krishna, but the rest of it is just Vaidhi, which can also be done by any Hindu or any kind of person in the Varnashram Dharma anyway. You're not having any rasa. So Bhaktisiddhanta took Tridandi Sannyas when he went. Gopal Bhatta Goswami was from the Venkateshwara family Brahmins and became Vaishnava when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled in the south, and then he became.
Okay.
So Gopal Bhatta then rewrote, this was a revolution. When he wrote the Vaishnav Gaudiya sacrifices and explained to the whole Brahmin community that any sacrifice you do to demigods or forefathers is an offense, this must have created a shockwave in India. Just like I said, that was their bread and butter. I don't know what you are saying to me. He's going like this. I know he's the cook, so I... No. Okay, well, put your ear to the... Get a glass and put the glass to the ear. And so this must have created shockwaves. This one, because that was, like I said, that was their bread and butter. When Bhakti said, there was, I believe also, Narottam also gave thread in a big way, but when Bhakti Siddhanta gave Brahmin thread to not born Brahmins, whoa, big shockwaves. So, Madhvacharya discovered his Gopal deity in a huge, it was a boat that was beached by the ocean, and they had a huge mound of gopi tilak, gopi chandra. And Madhva is the incarnation of Bhima and Hanuman. Strong. He picked it up, set it down, and it cracked open, and there was Krishna, boy Krishna, alone. Just. And he was about like a 6-year-old boy. Again, probably hidden because of other attackers or other kind of, maybe from the Buddhists. The Buddhists would go around and stop. When I was in India, there were no homegrown Buddhists. The sacred places of Buddha were all beautifully kept by Japanese and Burmese Buddhist monks. No Hindu, no one. Shankaracharya drove them out with those the Naga sadhus, naked with attrition. They drove them. No, it was violent. It was a violent revolution. And the Buddhists are nonviolent, sure. So they went and lived in all these surroundings. But the power of Buddha was, Prabhupada said, his shakti is to convert millions of people in a short time. Immediately, the Indian except that probably the Brahmins didn't like it so much. Culture, Vedic practices. What else?
So a little more. This verse that he's composed is explained here. Again, the verse is, O my Lord, my most merciful Master, Master of Mathura, when will I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now? Prabhupada writes, when Sri Krishna left Vrindavan and accepted the kingdom of Mathura, Srimati Radharani, out of ecstatic feelings of separation, expressed how Krishna can be loved in separation. Thus, devotional service in separation is central to this verse. Worship in separation is considered by the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya to be the topmost level of devotional service. According to this conception, the devotee thinks of himself as very poor and neglected by the Lord. Thus, he addresses the Lord as Dina Dayadra Nat, as did Madhavendra Puri. Such an ecstatic feeling is the highest form of devotional service. Because Krishna had gone to Mathura, Srimati Radharani was very much affected, and she expressed herself thus, My dear Lord, because of your separation, my mind has become overly agitated. Now tell me, what can I do? I am very poor, and you are very merciful, so kindly have compassion upon me, and let me know when I shall see you. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always expressing these ecstatic emotions of Srimati Radharani that she exhibited when she saw Uddhava in Vrindavan. Similar feelings experienced by Madhavendra Puri are expressed in this verse. Therefore, Vaishnavas in the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya say that these ecstatic feelings experienced by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during his appearance came from Sri Madhavendra Puri through Ishwara Puri. All the devotees in the line of the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya accept these principles of devotional service.
Madhvacharya had to be in his commentary of Srimad Bhagavatam, because we're Brahma Sampradaya. When there's Brahma Vimohan Lila, when Brahma becomes the solution, when Krishna became all the inhabitants, Madhvacharya doesn't have any commentary on that. But when Madhvacharya was asked, is everything in the spiritual sky reflection of them? Everything here is reflected in the spiritual sky? Yes. So what about the gopis? Dibya Vesha. Transcendental process. So, no. Because there was still no Madhurya Rasa understanding. It was only white regulation. So I played a trick on the Madhvas. I wrote an article for their magazine describing how, because the Madhvas are the strongest, the sworn enemy of Mayavada. Every single argument and answer. So I wrote my article that Shankaracharya allows people five deities. Let's see if I can remember that. Ganesh, Surya, Durga, Shiva, and Narayan. And when you're finished meditating, get liberation, they will also disappear also. So I said that's transcendental prostitution. You finished with the deity to show devotion, and then you throw it away. So I titled the article Divya Vesha. And they thought, oh, what a great article. Oh, we should have given you a title. And they didn't know that I was really goofing on them by calling it Divya Vesha, which Madhvacharya didn't know how to explain the gopis. Gopi love is not sitting around talking about gopis. Gopi love is Prabhupada, 70 years old, getting on a rusty freight boat with nothing and coming, starting Hare Krishna movement all over the world from nothing. Yes. What else?
Madhavendra Puri. Oh, have these two disciples. This one interesting pastime. When he was so old and ill, and he was lying on his deathbed reciting this verse over and over again, expressing this mood of separation. So Ishwara Puri was his one disciple who was taking care of him, cleaning him, nursing him, and he was very dear to Madhavendra Puri. He became the spiritual master of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the other disciple was Ramachandra Puri. So he came in the room, and Madhavendra Puri was expressing this mood. Oh my Lord, oh most merciful Master, oh Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? And so Ramachandra Puri said to his spiritual master, Gurudev, says in Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, Nasochati Nakankshati, one should not lament. Why are you lamenting? Don't lament. So Madhavendra Puri said, get out of here. So later this Ramachandra Puri came where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was staying. I forget where it was. But all the devotees were there. And this Ramachandra Puri came to visit the village. And because he was a godbrother of Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master, Lord Chaitanya treated him with utmost respect. But this Ramachandra Puri's business, because he was very envious by nature, was to make everybody else look bad. So he invited Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for prasad, and he fed him a huge feast, and he insisted, you eat more, eat more, eat more. And then when he was finished, he went out and said, just see the so-called sannyasis eating so much, eating so much. What kind of sannyasi is he? So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately vowed, okay, I'm only going to eat half as much as I was before. And so all the devotees became upset. Why are you listening to him? And then when they complained to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then he said, I'm only going to eat half of that. No, because you're complaining. I'll only eat a quarter. So they were just beside themselves with grief. And then again, this Ramchandra Puri came to visit Lord Chaitanya, and he saw in his room there were some ants. And he said, just see the sannyasi, he's keeping sweets secretly. He says he's not eating much, but he's keeping sweets. He must, because see these ants are here. So it's a very painful pastime.
He must have remained a Mayavadi. The Madhvacharya took the Ekadandi one sannyas because that was the most popular form. Just like if we were to, in America, take a black collar and black habits or not. I couldn't imagine us going around chanting Hare Krishna with the ladies in nuns' habits. But that was the idea. That was the... That's a real dunt. But Lord Chaitanya took the Ekadandi sannyas, because of these two reasons, Madhavendra Puri, Madhva, and... because that was the most respected order.
Well, the devotees suffered. They just suffered with this person's association. That was that was the end of it.
To say not so, Jiji, not come to tea. That's terrible.
I might add, there are sometimes we find the successors of Ramachandra Puri in ISKCON, and they come up under various names, but their goal is to criticize people. There's a Ritvik group that's famous for that, and others. I know it's Ramachandra Puri is alive and well. And it's just always, we will always have a Ramachandra Puri.
There's no happy end to that pastime.
No.
Yeah.
Not like he was somehow bled in chance Hare Krishna or something, like Jagai Mother or any of that. No, he doesn't.
Somebody who was kind of weaned on you know, prunes or something.
Yeah. But I mean, sometimes you cannot touch someone's heart. Our heart is so hard, you can't touch. I would always get, you know, someone come with a Mayavadi thing. And we have ample scripture and logic to disprove Mayavad. No sun, no sunlight. The sunlight is all pervasive because there's a sun planet and a sun disk and fire created from a sun form. The room could be filled with flower perfume. No flower, no perfume. We have plenty of artists. Still, people will not accept. They just have hard. So don't be discouraged. Even in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association, Ramachandra Puri doesn't get it. Still, he's criticizing his own guru dying. Why are you crying? Why do you feel pain? That means the guru. This happened in the beginning when we first saw Prabhupada effulgent. We were awe-inspired. Admirers. And we didn't know if, you know, does he feel anything? Does he know everything? Does he? No. So, well, one time it came up, somebody said something, oh, so-and-so didn't show up. We thought you knew. He says, how can I know if you don't tell me? And then we knew we had to serve the spiritual master. Right then, instead of becoming groupies, we became disciples. He depends on us. That's Achintya Bheda Bhed. After a few months of Bhagavad Gita, Back to Godhead coming out, someone asked Prabhupada, would you put in an article? Is Achintya Bheda Tattva in disciple-guru relationship? Achintya Bheda is not just God and, you know, Purusha and Jiva. It's everything. Everything has an Achintya Bheda Bhed relationship. Inconceivable. One indifference. Now, else I told that to one of the Madhvas in Udipi. But Prabhupada said, they asked him, would you put in an article in Back to Godhead? He said, are all your articles based on my teachings? Yes. He says, then I write all the articles. Okay. When Krishna sees Bhishma, takes Arjun, come and see Bhishma dying. And Bhishma says, why do you want me to explain Dharma? What's happening there when Bhishma is lying on the bed of arrows, dying and holding on till the change of the year? It's like any The outgoing party has to give all acceptance and tell all of their the State of the Union to the winning, incoming regime. So Bhishma is doing that. There's this transition period like we have in between. The election is in November, the inauguration is in January. In that time, the outgoing party has to tell everything to the new President of the United States. Similarly, Bhishma is representing the Kauravas and telling Krishna and the Pandavas everything they need to know about Dharma. So Bhishma is one of the Mahajans. And he says, the Mayavadis really run with this, boy. Why do you want me? Everything I am is you. Sounds like Mayavad. No, it's just like everything I am has come from you. And now, why do you want to hear it? Because Krishna wants to hear back from his devotee. So there's a simultaneously one and different, and it's inconceivable when and how it may flip-flop. It's all in Krishna's control. What else?
In relation to Mahaprabhu's response to Ramachandra Puri, I'm just wondering, so basically he tolerated, even though he was more or less committing Vaishnava Parada, but he didn't correct because he was senior to himself. So is that spiritual principle or cultural principle or somewhere in between?
As you approach, then Krishna will reciprocate, or Guru will reciprocate with you. I still give you respect because you're in the Sampradaya, but he didn't bestow Prema Bhakti on the trees and animals in Charikanda forest jumped chanting Hare Krishna, but not him. So, you get my respect, yeah, you're a god brother, you're a disciple of him. But, yeah.
How do we follow that example here? Or do we say, like in ISKCON, let's say if you see someone senior to you apparently making some offense, then what do you do?
You show respect and walk away. If you think that they're going to disturb your bhakti. The only offense, the Vaishnava offense is the only offense, Vaishnava aparada is the only offense that can rip up and break the bhakti lata. Bhakti Krishna. If they're causing offenses, you know, good luck to them, but it's very easy to deal with them. You avoid their association. Vishwanath Chakrabarti says.
One probable solution is to, if Ishwar Puri would be there, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can talk to his guru to talk to his god brother. So we will not correct our guru's god brother, but we can ask our guru to communicate with the bhakti. So that way, etiquette is.
One more. You have to get the book. What is it? And someone had it on hand? Yeah. Go ahead. Oh, yeah. It's a small room. Oh, yes.
I heard that you...
More salt! That's enough. I didn't know he was listening.
Could you tell us about when you learned how to play mandanga in that period in India and what and who you were?
I almost broke down, upset because someone said Prabhupada said Chitananda's not a very good mandanga player, and I said, yeah, I learned a little bit more, a lot more, but still wasn't really like some of the young devotees that are playing really fabulous things that I'll never But the person who said that, that Prabhupada said, was doing it to be offensive. But I, at first I felt bad, but then I said, no, it really wasn't that great. Dunga play, like some of the boys that are learning now, the Mayapuri traveling group and some of the others in the Gurukul, they've got eyes in their fingers. They are phenomenal. Just amazing. But the thing, also what I tell them again and again, don't get distracted by the art of playing and lose the bhava and inspiration and of chanting. It's not entertainment. However, I told the Mayapuris, if you're singing this stuff and ding-a-ling-ding and there's 15,000 people, they get 15,000 people to chant Jai Radha Madhava, do it. You know. Even if it's something. You know. Prabhupada didn't like that. I didn't like it either to make it mundane or Bollywood to style thing. People always ask me melodies. Mel, what is this melody? I don't know about the melody. Do without any melody. Japa is without melody. No good. Old school, it's a old school. There's no melody. And I did that in a little. There was a 24-hour kirtan. But it wasn't 24 hours. It was 12 hours and 12 hours. So there was no overnight. Like, okay. Got a store. It says open 24 hours. So we went down at 2 in the morning. It's closing up. I said, well, it says open 24 hours. He says, not in a row. Yeah. So I heard, I thought there was going to be 24-hour kirtan because it would be on a podcast around the world. It wasn't. Still, I chanted my half hour. I chanted my half hour. And then I started getting faster and faster. And then I said, you know, stop the music. No more drum. No more call. Everybody, I went, stop this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And with japa speed. No melody, no instruments, just the name. The Maha Mantra, the Harina Maha Mantra is not a something. It's a somebody. Krishna's manifestation in sound. What else? Yeah, more.
You're talking about how the Harinam is the sacrifice for the age now.
Yeah.
So, if you just do japa, is that good enough? Is that enough? Is that a sufficient performance for sacrifice for everyone?
Well, we want to get everyone. Sufficient, I don't know.
Just to do japa, no.
Chanting, oh, even the Madhvas, when I met the UDP Madhvas, one of them quoted the verse, which I don't know in Sanskrit. There is no sin so abominable that one pure chanting of Harinam cannot remove. Say, Nam Namakari Bahudanijasarva Shakti. You know Hindi? I'm a little Sanskrit and Bengali Hindis are very similar. Everyone should learn at least the Devanagari alphabet. And the Bengali alphabet is very similar. And it'll help your pronunciation to know the words. But Bahunam, Nam Namakari Bahunam Nijasarva Shakti Statrapina Miyamita Smarane Nakala. There's no time or place or rules and regulations for whether the japa is. You want to hear it and receive it from a spiritual master. Looks like I got to move. Okay. You want to hear it from the lips of a pure devotee, serve him, and go on. And it's not like someone mentioned the Ritwik, that the Prabhupada's in the book. You just read the books. No, the book says, take a spiritual master, render service unto him, and so, acting. Prabhupada was on a morning walk, someone, Preston, is just reading the books enough? Is that the guru? And Prabhupada grabbed his ear.